Amen. Pedro.
Thank you. Thank you,
Pastor Mitch.
I think that's the most nervous I've ever been drinking water in front of people. It's kind of awkward. Is it as awkward for you guys as it is for me? Thank you, Jessica, for being honest. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord, and worship you and spend time with you, Lord, and get to fellowship with each other and get to hear from you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for helping me get these words out that you want to get out, that you help us understand what you want us to understand, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump into it. I'm not, no backstory this time. So let's go ahead and maybe we will have a little backstory. I like backstories. It's like the origins in the superhero movies. So I got to ask you a tough question. This is tough, and it could be hard. Are you satisfied? You don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it. All right? You don't have to answer it. Just think about it. Answer it in your head. Don't say it out loud. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? If we think about it, it can be a really hard question to answer. I'll share my answer. My answer is no, I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. I could use help in this area, and I think all of us can. I think all of us are not perfect prayers. Because I think if we were, we probably would be in heaven already. But luckily for us, God already knew that we would struggle in this area. So he sent some help. So let's turn to Romans 8, 26. I'm going to do a little plug again for our Proclaim thing. We have this account with, it's called Proclaim. And it's what we use to put the scriptures and the lyrics up on the screens. And if you have a tablet, a phone, I kind of encourage you to download this app called Faith Life, Faith Bible app, Faith Bible Study app. Just look up those words and you'll find it. And then you create an account and you could join our group here at Faith Ministries. We have the ability to do like Bible studies and reading the word together and all that stuff. And I think that's really cool stuff to grow together. And another thing that so far it's only me and Mitch that have jumped on the wagon. But in the early in the service, in the pre-service, we have like little quizzes going on. I'm sure some of you guys have seen it. Like little quizzes, it says A, B, and C, and D, and they ask a question. Well, you could go on the app and then answer the questions, and then it'll have a leaderboard of who answers the most questions. It's fun. It's a nice, competitive, fun, iron sharpens iron type thing. But anyways, Romans 8, 26. That's my little plug. Another really cool, neat thing. As I change it, this is really good for those lazy people. Sorry. Like for me, I change it and it automatically changes on my phone. Like I don't have to go searching for it. It just takes me there. I thought that was really cool. But anyways, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So we struggle with prayer. That's okay, because we got a helper. God sent a helper. The Holy Spirit, this is right there. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What is our weakness in this area we're talking about? Prayer. One of the names for the Holy Spirit, I know it's a spirit, but in some versions it says Holy Spirit. One of the names is helper. He's the comforter. In the Greek, sorry if I mispronounce it, any of you Greek scholars out there, paraclete, and that means the one who comes aside to assist God's child. And I thought that was really cool. I'm like falling over right here. The one who comes alongside to assist God's child. And what did we just sing? We just sing, we are a child of God. I am a child of God. And I think I heard most of you sing it, so you just confessed it. And the same with Abba. Abba, Father. We call them Abba, Father. So, in other words, by, if you know math, some of the equation things, I forget, it's been a while. By calling him Father, you called yourself his child. So, he knew we would need the Holy Spirit. He knew we would need the help. So let's go ahead and go, let's read that again, Romans 8:26, but this time we're going to add 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches heart knows what in the mind of the Spirit, sorry, I'm going to restart. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you guys ever been to a point where you're like, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I'm like, just at the moment, you're like, I feel like I gotta pray, but I don't know what to do. Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. If we jumped up the other sentence, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And when we don't know, that's when the Spirit intercedes for us. With groanings too deep for words. I'll go back to the groanings too deep for words. That's a little later on. So you could keep a finger. We're going to keep going to this verse quite a bit. It's my main verse, scripture, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so let's jump ahead to Ephesians 6:18. I like going fast. I don't like spending a lot of time because I feel like I just start talking about nothing. Ephesians 6:18, praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to the end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So in the beginning, right there in the beginning, it says praying all times in the Spirit. That means in a line with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in line with God's will. It doesn't mean spirit like a cheerleader, like, yeah, I got spirit, like animated. No, it means in line with the will of God, with the Holy Spirit. Right, I'm going through these scriptures real quick. They all have a point. So let's go ahead and jump to Jude 20, or Jude 120, whatever you want, however your Bible puts it. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit activates us in things that are dormant, that are hidden inside of us. Stuff that God has put in there since the beginning of time, since before we were thought of from our like parents, before we were in our parents' mother's womb. He puts stuff in us, and the Holy Spirit awakens those things. It activates those things. God has put joy in us. He has put love in us. He's put kindness in us. All good things He has put in us. He has put a heart of worship in us. He has put a heart for prayer in us. He's put a heart for the lost in us. But the Holy Spirit activates that. Everybody in the world, I believe, has that longing for God, but they don't know it. And that Holy Spirit, when it hits you, when that Holy Spirit hits you and gets on you, you know you get hungry for God. And you know something changed inside of you, something activated in you. Romans 8, 5 through 7. Says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Set our mind on the Spirit. We should set our mind on the Holy Spirit, on God. And if just a quick thing, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, Trinity, God, they're all God and stuff. So it's like they're all God. So I'm gonna use them interchangeably in this teaching. Just a quick little Trinity stuff. So set our mind on Spirit. When our minds is set on the flesh, the scripture right there says it's hostile towards God. It's hostile towards God. Our minds, like I said, like before we were born, God designed us for something. But when we came into this world, we may not necessarily know it. And our default would be going against God, going towards the flesh, because it's the easy thing to do. We have to train our minds to focus on the Spirit. The best way that I thought of this analogy today while I was at work was potty training a dog. Sometimes it could be really easy, sometimes it could be really hard. And sometimes just being around other people that have set their mind on the Spirit helps you set your mind on the Spirit. Like, I've had many dogs throughout my life, but there's a funny story because there's one dog that we tried potty training. Only two dogs were ever potty trained out of like the 13 I've had. Not just me, my family, like my sisters and all this stuff. So it's over a period of time. It's not all at once. The first one, we struggled. We had to use newspaper, and every time it peed, we would like hit it on the nose and type that. That's stuff you read on the internet, how to train a dog. And eventually, like it got potty trained. It took a long time. My little sister, Ruby, she's the one that trained the dog, and she trained him. Her. It was the dog's was a her. So then the dog had puppies. And we kept one puppy, and the mom dog ended up training the little one to go pee outside. We didn't have to train the little puppy to go pee outside. The puppy just saw the mom doing it, and the puppy followed. I didn't realize that what this analogy was saying. For me, my daughter, she's gonna follow my example. Mitch's children are gonna follow him. Jessica, your children are gonna follow your example. And everybody else who has a kid. Everybody has somebody that looks up to them. Everybody has someone that looks up to them. You don't have to have a child, per se, for them to look up to you. But if you set your mind on things of God, that child, that person who looks up to you, is going to look up to you and see that you set your minds on God things. I'm going off my notes now. But anyways, our old man, who we used to be, before we were saved, before the Holy Spirit intervened, our old man didn't want to pray. It had a I don't care about prayer attitude. And I'm not going to lie, I've had that attitude before. Maybe before I was saved. And so I know these things. I know what I'm talking about. And so one of the things I hate, I don't know if I could say that behind here, but anyways, I'm going to say it. One of the things I really, really, really don't like is excuses. When everybody has excuses because for everything, like why you were late to class, why you didn't get this done, there's always excuses. There's always excuses. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. We have to stop with our excuses towards God. God loves honesty. He loves when we're honest. He loves when we're honest, even when it's not according to His will. I know that sounds weird. But He loves when we're honest. If you're afraid, tell God, God, I'm afraid. He loves that, and He'll go and comfort you. It's okay to have these quote-unquote scared feelings and those feelings that everybody talks about are taboo, or you can't have those. Tell God how you feel. How your heart hurts. And He will go and comfort you, like with the Holy Spirit. When we stop praying, when we make excuses about praying, like, oh, I had to work and it got busy with kids and I had to take kids to practice so-and-so, and then so-and-so spilled something on their clothes and I had to clean it. And then they told me they had to bake cupcakes for tomorrow, something. All those are just excuses for you not wanting to pray. And it's as simple as that. You didn't want to pray. But that's our old self. When we have the Holy Spirit, when we get back aligned on the Holy Spirit, there's hope. We don't have to be like that anymore. The Spirit activates our will to pray. When we start praying in the Holy Spirit regularly, it becomes as natural, as easy as breathing. To the point where you don't even know that you're praying. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I don't know if you guys look at that as good news or bad news or whatever, but I look at it as good news because God is still working on me. That means in my just thinking about it means I'm going to get better. God's going to bring me to things for his will and his work for his good pleasure. And this is the thing though. Who is working? Is it us? Are we the one working on ourselves? Am I the one working on Ivan? No, I'm not. It's God who works in us. So, we're not alone in getting better. We're not alone in wanting, if we want to get better in prayer, it's not just us. God is helping us do it. If we want to get better in worship, God will help us get better in worship. You want to worship deeper, God will help you. If you want to pray deeper, God will help you. If you don't have the desire to pray, I challenge you to admit it and ask God to help you, to give you that desire to pray. I challenge you tonight to go home, if this is you, to go home and just be honest with God. From your heart, tell him, God, I love you, but it's hard for me to pray. I don't know how. Or I don't like to. Just be honest. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is just another one to backing up about we're not alone in this, okay, I'm going to call it fight. We're not alone in this fight. We have received the spirit of adoption, meaning we were orphans at one point. We were alone. When you think of orphans, they're essentially alone. They don't have nobody. But now we have the spirit of adoption. And we have an Abba Father. God becomes our Father. You don't get a better father than that. Another one to prove my point, Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Any scripture that God says, you're my child, Abba, Father, it rings with me so strongly. Because my father was never around. And so I know there's a lot of people like that. And a lot of people that did have a father around, but Ness didn't have a daddy around. With the Holy Spirit, it becomes natural to worship and praise. Praise God. With the Spirit, it will become natural to pray. Romans 8:11. In the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Are you feeling drained at the end of the day? After work? You feel drained? Well, the Holy Spirit brings our bodies back to life. This is right there. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit refreshes our bodies with energy to do the will of God. And the will of God is to pray. So I'm going to ask you another question. When we pray in the Spirit, who is praying? Is it us or the Holy Spirit? It's both of us. It's both us and the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit needs you to activate the Spirit, to start praying, and then He'll jump in. Because if it was just the Spirit wouldn't need us, because God wouldn't need us. But it needs us. We need it, and it needs us. We can't do it without the Spirit, and the Spirit will not do it without us. Let's go jump to Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I forgot why I put that in there. All right, let's go to 14, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Led by the Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. In verse 26, it said, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit knows what to pray. But we have to start praying first. We have to start, and then the Holy Spirit will start. And a lot of times, we don't know what to pray, and that's okay. Because even it says it in Scripture, who we don't know what to pray. But the Spirit will intercede. One awesome example of not knowing what to pray is in Acts. About Saul. Saul was murdering Christians. He was hunting them down and killing them. That's what's going on. He was a terrorist. He was a hate group. And I bet you, I guarantee you, that those Christians, a lot of them were praying, God, kill him. God, kill Saul. That's the only way that we could do what you want us to do, kill Saul. But those who prayed in the Spirit may have not known what they were praying, but the Spirit interceded for them. And it changed from what we think we need for what you really need. See the prayer from about Saul, about killing him, was scared, was fearful. They were scared of Saul, that Saul would kill them. So they were praying that God will kill Saul first. That was out of fear. But God interceded and he woke up Saul. Converted his name into Paul. I didn't mean to rhyme. And I think it's so awesome because when I was thinking of this, I was like, oh my God, it's like it's all falling together. It's falling together because, watch, they were scared, right? They were scared. The Christians were scared of Saul. And it's okay that they were scared because he was killing them. It's okay, they were scared. But what did Saul write? What did God give Saul? Saul turned to Paul. What did Paul write later on? He wrote, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, the spirit in you, what those Christians needed at that time. Are you guys following me? And when we have no words, the Holy Spirit jumps in. We jump back to verse 26 and 27. Right there, and it says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I looked up groanings. I totally misspelled it on my notes. It kind of threw me off. I put groan sings. But anyways, groanings too deep for words. Groaning in that passage means birth pains. It means birthing hope. This happens when you're praying and you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to say, and you just release from what's in your heart. And I could guarantee you're not going to understand it. Because it could be yelling, it could be crying, it could be shouts. And those groanings will translate, the Holy Spirit will translate those things in the deepest part of your heart to God's ear, and it's going to be what was needed to be prayed. Romans 8:28. For we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. If you've been praying for something and it hasn't happened, don't lose hope. Because it says right there, for those who love God, all things work together for good. And I'm sure many of us have heard that scripture over and over again. But they leave out one important part. For those who are called according to his purpose. And they also leave out the beginning, usually. Those who love God. And you hear that a lot. All things work together for good. God will work all things together for good. Well, yes. But those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And if you're praying in the spirit, you are called to his purpose. It's simple as that. So I encourage you tonight, as you go home, as you're getting ready for bed, take a moment to pray in the spirit. To pray from your heart, from your deepest part of your heart. Pray an honest prayer. Pray it. And you'll start to get those desires to pray, those God dreams, those God things, that things that God always talks about, that we always hear about, those miracles, all those things that we've been talking about. They will come once you start being true to yourself, being honest with God. And it's not really being honest with God because he already knows what's going on. It's more for you to understand what's going on. Because sometimes when you pray from your heart, you'll say something to God you didn't know was in there. And then you'll be able to work on that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you and learn more about your spirit, Lord, and your prayer, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll help us, help each and every one of us improve our prayer life, improve listening to you, Lord. And I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to comfort us, for sending your Holy Spirit to every single one of our homes, Lord, to inside of us, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, and I thank you that we'll be able to take what we receive from you and share it, that we would not become stale, stagnant, that we would just be flowing out and our spirits would just flow out, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you for coming. We have service Sundays at 10, prayer at 9:15. It's always really awesome praying before service. Then youth group will start our Friday. This Sunday we'll start our 5 p.m. youth groups. If you know somebody between the ages of middle school to high school, invite them. What am I forgetting? Spanish service Sunday at 3. What am I forgetting? Is that good? All right. We'll see you Sunday, if not sooner.